So, week after week, year after year, we get together on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, and we, as a staff, teach you Scripture. That's our role. To teach you the truth. And we talk about things from handling emotions to dating to soils, like last year, to how to obey your parents, how to respect authority. We talk about a lot of different things. But everything that we talk about boils down to 1 Timothy 1:5. And the reason, and you'll see why it does. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this. It says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. This is Paul writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy was like Paul's protege. He traveled around with Paul for a long time, helping Paul out. Paul always had a group that kind of traveled with him, but Timothy was Paul actually calls himself Timothy's spiritual father. They had that kind of a relationship, and they went together as a group, and Paul and Timothy went to Ephesus, which is the town that the letter of Ephesians was written to, and taught there at the church, encouraged the church. And when Paul left Ephesus, he left Timothy there to continue to teach the Ephesians and to continue to encourage them, and to be a leader in that church. A little while later, Paul sends back this letter that we now have, that we call 1 Timothy, sent this letter back to Timothy, encouraging him and really setting out for him what he was supposed to do there in Ephesus. And he starts his whole letter right towards the beginning, saying that the goal, telling Timothy this, the goal of our instruction, the goal of our teaching is love. And goal is like the word that they used in the Olympics at that time. Olympics have been around forever, but it was a word that they used at that time in the Olympics as like the prize that you got at the end of the Olympics. It would be like for us, it would be the gold medal now. And you know, Olympians train and train and train. They, you know, 365 days a year for 4 years, they're working their butts off to hone their skill in their sport so that they can go and represent their country at the Olympics for the sole purpose of after they finish their race, their swimming race, their whatever that they're doing, that they can stand on that podium and hold up that gold medal. They spent all this time. And Paul is using a similar idea here, that all the work that Timothy is to do in teaching and instructing is for no other purpose than to teach the people how to love. I take this as a serious call on my life. Because I am a teacher and I'm responsible to teach you guys the word accurately, this should be and is our goal as teachers, is to instruct you and everything that we instruct you, that you would learn how to love God and how to love others. That's the whole point of why we show up here week after week after week to build truth into your guys' life. And he was saying this to Timothy because the Ephesians were adding to the truth, they were substituting the truth, they were ignoring the truth, they were debating about the truth. And he was saying, none of that stuff, get rid of all that stuff. Nothing matters except teaching how to love. In fact, actually, Galatians 5:6, I love this verse in this context, says this. It says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Do you understand what that verse is saying? That verse is saying that in comparison, school and sports and video games and learning how to play an instrument, being a part of the band, whatever is going on in your life, none of that matters. None of it matters. The only thing that matters is faith, which is this trusting relationship we have with God, showing up in our lives through love. And that's not saying, well, just give up school, give up sports, give up everything that you're doing. Do those things. But make those things an expression of this relationship you have with God and demonstrate love as you do it. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that I want to teach you. It's the only thing I care about you learning. So we emphasize this. This is very, very important, that your life be about love. That our lives be about love. But then he goes on and he gets more specific than just love, because we really need this. But they needed this at this time too. We need this because love is such a bland word today. It is used for so many different things that mean so many different things. I mean, we talk about how much we love ice cream, and then we talk about how much we love our country and like a soldier who loves his country. You know, that's something totally different than me loving Melissa. I mean, those things don't even relate. But we just love. And we use it for so many things. And he wants to get specific about the kind of love he's talking about, which, by the way, is the highest form of love. It's God's kind of love. And this is what he says. He says, the goal of instruction is love from a pure heart. That's the first thing. From a pure heart. Pure means ritually pure. It's the idea from the Old Testament that the guys who would bring sacrifices, the priests who would come and bring sacrifices for the people, they would have to be washed in a very specific way. And they had very specific rules about what they could do in their daily life in order to be pure to come and offer sacrifices. And if they did something that would make them unclean, not ritually pure, they were not allowed to come bring sacrifices. It really boils down to a heart that is clean. And in this context, it's talking about clean from sin. It's referring to sin in our lives. The bottom line with this one, guys, is that it's impossible to sin against someone and love them at the same time. You cannot do that. It is impossible. And on a certain level, we go, that totally makes sense. If I am stealing money from you, that's obviously not love. I'm not showing love for you at that particular point. If I am screaming at you and yelling at you because I hate you, that's obviously not showing love. If I am beating you about the head and kicking you in the gut, that's obviously not love, right? I'm sinning against you. If I lie to you, although that's even in our society today, some lies are even considered love by people today. Understand this. This is a side note. Lying, deceiving, never love. Guys, when you get married and your wife goes, does this make me look fat? And it does. Lying to her is not loving her. See, I'm telling you, you can look at that and you go, our society says you're supposed to lie in that situation because that's the way to love. It's not. You cannot sin against someone and love them at the same time. But you know, so we look at those things, those outward sins, those things that I'm obviously sinning against you right now. Obviously, that's not love. But our secret sins keep us from loving people too. When you gossip about someone, even if it never gets back around to them, you are hindering your ability to love that person when you do encounter them face to face. If you're lusting after someone, and you're having those thoughts go through your mind, and you see them, it is hindering your ability to love that person. It's usually objectifying them in some way, devaluing them in some way. Our secret sins affect our ability to love also. 2 Timothy 2:20 says this. Actually, you guys got to look it up, so you can't look up here. Somebody got that open already? 2 Timothy 2.
Page 817.
Flip open to 817 in your Bible. This is 2 Timothy 2. It starts in verse 20. It says this. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for disposal of refuse, which means they're for trash cans. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. The context for this passage, this verse, is ungodliness and wickedness. He describes it all the way in chapter 2 up to this point. He's describing ungodliness and wickedness. That's the context. And then he comes to this part, and he gives kind of an example. And he says in a house, at this time, there are things made of gold and silver. And they're very precious things. And we have things like that now. I don't know if you guys have in your household, I don't know if your parents have actual silverware, like that's silver. And usually, if they do have that, it's you don't use that every day. You keep that away somewhere. Or you may have china. I know we have china from our wedding that we never use. I don't even know where it is. Because it's precious. That's why. You don't use that every day. But then on the other hand, you have everyday stuff. Like at this time, they had wooden and clay things, which were just kind of everyday use stuff. Kind of like Tupperware, you know, just cheap. You use it all the time. You bang it up. It's not a big deal. We have plates that we use every day. We have forks that we use every day. And they're just kind of common. Every day. Nothing special about them. We live in a world that's striving to be common. And I know you guys can probably relate to that statement. Everybody is trying to fit in, is trying not to make waves, is trying to be like everyone else. And you may go, I'm not one of those people. I am trying to go against the current. I'm trying to be different. But you know, in general, our world is looking to fit in. If there's anything odd, anything off, they're always trying to bring them back into what's normal. They just want to be common. And God calls us to be precious, to be unique. Because when we are precious, when we're china and we're true silverware and we're precious things, those things are used for noble purposes. What's noble? Like nobility. What is that used for? But what are noble things used for? Especially in this time. We don't have this much anymore. But what's that? What's nobility?
Royalty.
Royalty, right? For kings and queens and princes and people in the court at that time. They're used for nobility and for kings and queens. And he's talking about to be useful to the king, you need to be some of this unique, precious stuff and not the common stuff. Only when we don't allow sin to draw us into the common root, when we don't allow sin to rule our lives, can we be useful to the king. Cleansed, can we be useful to the king. Sin will always destroy your ability to love. Always. There is no exception. So he goes on, he says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. When I think of conscience, I think of like movies and TV. We just watched Pinocchio like last week, and do you guys know Jiminy Cricket in Pinocchio? Have you guys seen Pinocchio? Yeah. Jiminy Cricket is Pinocchio's conscience, you know, and Pinocchio is always going, you know, down doing bad things, wrong things. He wants to be an actor, and Jiminy Cricket's like, no, don't do it. This guy's bad or whatever. And you know, he's always the guy who's kind of his moral guide. And Pinocchio doesn't listen to him, and he always gets into trouble, right? And at the end, you know, Jiminy Cricket gets his little gold badge that says, "I'm a conscience" or whatever. Anyway, I just watched it, so. You know, that's the idea of conscience. Or like on, what's the llama cartoon?
Emperor's New Groove.
Okay, I know the guy Cusco. I don't know if you guys remember. They pop up like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder, and they Kronk. Sorry. And they draw. You know that one's like, oh, you should do the good thing, and one's like, you should do the bad thing. That's the idea of a conscience, right? It's a moral. It's moral sensitivity, a moral compass. The idea in this regard for love is that you do love from good intentions is a good word to replace that with. Good intentions. That your motives matter. We talked a little bit about this last week. But how you do something is important. That you need to love. But also why you do something is very, very important also. 1 Corinthians 13, you guys can flip to that. We're going to be reading a few verses out of that. 1 Corinthians 13. Somebody got a page number on that? What is it?
786.
786. Nice. 786. 1 Corinthians 13, what do they call 1 Corinthians 13?
Chapter of love.
Chapter of love. The love chapter. All about love, right? Starts out like this. Says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast and do not have love, I gain nothing. You could do the most amazing loving acts in the world. You could go to Calcutta and serve the poor. You could give all of your money away. You could become a millionaire and give it all away and live on the streets. Give it all away to charity and live on the streets. You could do things that the world would just go, man, that is amazing. Look at that love. And if your motivation isn't to love the people around you or to love God, it means nothing. To give you a more concrete example, and I always use this, but if I walk an old lady across the street, I could be walking her across the street because I'm concerned about her and I really want to make sure that she gets to the other side. And I really care about her. I could walk in a lady across the street because I know that lady and she is loaded and I'm going to get a little bit of a kickback if I walk her across the street. And she's generous. She's gonna throw me a 20 or something if I walk across the street. I could walk her across the street because I just know little old ladies are going to pat me on the head and go, oh, you're such a nice little sonny. And they'll, you know, she'll be nice to me. But when those are my motivations, and I walk to a lady across the street, and I stick out my hand for that 20, and she doesn't give it to me, forget you. Loaded and can't even give a guy a buck. Or that you walk to a lady across the street, and she's like, I didn't need your help. Get away from me. And you're expecting, yeah. I don't know where that accent came from. And you're expecting me, and you're expecting to get praised and complimented. You walk away and you're like, cranky old lady. See, our motivations matter. If we're truly just doing it out of a heart that wants to love, it doesn't matter how that person responds to me. I'm going to continue to love them. If I see her next week, cranky old lady who never gives me a dime, I'm going to walk her across the street again. Because I just want to care about her. I just want to love her. It doesn't matter her response. Motives matter. You need to ask yourself why you do what you do. You need to allow God to search your heart and go, why do I play volleyball? Why do I play basketball? Why am I on the swimming team? Is it so I can make varsity? Is it so I can always be a starter? Why do I play an instrument? Is it so people will, people will clap and, usually if you play instrument good, people are going to clap and go, oh, you're so good. Why do you sing? Why do you act? When you're at home, why do you clean your room? Why do you take out the trash? What did you say?
Why do I clean my room?
Usually, it's fear of punishment.
Yeah.
And you guys probably don't get spanked anymore, but maybe you do. But it's something like you're not going to get your allowance if you don't do it. Your parents are going to harp on you forever, and you're going to have to hear them jabbering in your ear, and it's just easier just to get it done. If you don't clean your room, you can't go out on Friday night. Whatever it is, it usually comes out of fear of punishment. What if you knew for a fact that your parents would do nothing if you didn't clean your room? Why you do what you do is important. Would you still, because you love your parents, go, you know what, I know my mom wants my room clean. I'm just going to clean it because I love her. I see that trash needs to be taken out. I hate taking out the trash. And no one's asking me to do it, but I love her. I'm going to do it anyway. Or I love him. You love your dad too. Why you do what you do is important. God's kind of love, the highest kind of love, always seeks the best of the person loved at our own expense. Always seeks the best of the person loved, even when it's at our own expense. Goes on, hopefully you guys have that still open. Verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. That is a sweet list to go, am I loving this person? I'd highly encourage you to go, am I doing this? 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 It's a great, great checklist for that. But included in that, it says, love does not envy, which is a motivation. I want what you have. And so I'm going to be your friend because I can ride your four-wheeler. It does not boast. It is not proud, which means it does not do things to be popular. It does not do things to be well-liked. It does not do things to be respected. It is not self-seeking. That sums up so many things. God's kind of love, the highest kind of love, does not look out for my own interests at all. Not even a little. Well, I'll look out for others' interests 90%, but I'm going to hold like 10% back for my own interests. Not self-seeking. Motives matter. Love from good motives, good intentions. Important. Last one. Love. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Sincere means genuine. It means authentic. We looked a little bit at that word last week because of authentic Christianity. It's the real deal. Okay? The real deal faith. It's actually the word undisguised. You guys know what a masquerade ball is? Heather does. You guys don't have to tell me, but do you guys know what that is? They used to have these big balls where a bunch of people would get into a room, and they would come with these little st- sticks with a mask on it, okay? And they would hold up this mask, and the mask would have different, they'd have like the happy guy, the ask it in so what time, happy guy, you know, sad guy, clown guy, whatever. They'd have different personas that they would put on, and they'd stick that mask up, and they would be that persona for the night. A little bit like Halloween, but like a ball. Like Romeo and Juliet. Okay, you would hold it up there. This is going. You don't have a faith mask on. You know, it's pretty easy to make a mask that looks like true faith, a trusting relationship with God. All you have to do is look around at the people around you who do have trusting faith in God and go, I'm going to make my mask look like them. And then you stick that up. This is sincere faith, which takes the mask down, and your face is the face of faith. It's undisguised. It's not fake. It's the real deal. It's the real deal trust in God. It's believing in God to the point of complete trust. It's biblical faith. Trusting relationship with God. And the real deal. It is impossible to love when it's not the real deal. You don't have the real deal going on with God, you will never be able to love with God's kind of love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says it very, very clearly. The whole chapter of 1 John 4 says it very, very clearly. And I'm just going to read it. You guys can flip to it if you want. I'm just going to read it. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another." We know we're supposed to do that, love one another. "For love comes from God." You guys got that? Agape love, which is the love he's talking about, God's kind of love, the highest form of love, it only comes from God. We can never be the source of that kind of love. It just doesn't happen. It's impossible for us to love that way. We will always love in a selfish manner, in a self-seeking manner. That's our kind of love. That's human love. Real love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You know what that's saying? These are some pretty bold statements, but what he's saying is the only people who can truly love an unselfish love that seeks others' well-being over their own all the time is someone who has a trusting relationship with God. You don't have that relationship, you cannot love that way. It's impossible. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You don't have that trusting relationship with God, impossible to love. Now, there's plenty of fakes out there. Things that look like unselfish love. Mother-child relationships, soldier-country relationship, policemen, firemen. We look at things like that, and we hold those people up and go, look at that, that's unselfish love. Not biblically, not truly unselfish. And it's not their fault. They can't produce that kind of love. We can't produce that kind of love. True love only comes from the one we trust our lives to. From the one that us in this room have decided to follow with our lives. The cool thing is if you give yourself to be used by God, you will love others that way. You will. It'll happen. Our goal in instruction, guys, is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. Galatians 5:6, I'm just going to read it again. It says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." If you guys get nothing else from tonight, I would hope that you would walk away tonight going, I believe that. I'm going to stake my life on the fact that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Questions down at the bottom say, Is your life primarily about loving God and loving others? Or is it primarily about just getting through school? Is it primarily about enjoyment, having fun, entertainment? Most of our society, that's what their principal goal in life is. Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody's living for fun, living for enjoyment, living to make enough money to buy the boat so I can jet ski or water ski, whatever. Is your life primarily about loving God and loving others? What is keeping you from loving well? Sin, your motives, lack of relationship with God, lack of intimacy in your relationship with God? What is keeping you from loving? And again, this is not a question, but I would encourage you guys just to take some time as I give you some time to ask God to help you live a life of love. He's the only one that can do it through you. What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? Fill those in at the bottom. Lord, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth, sometimes shocking truth that we find there. I pray that we would take you at your word tonight and we would trust you in our lives because of it. Just pray as we go to sweat time that we'd be able to apply this to our lives and that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers tonight. I pray this all in your name.